Either why this might be singled out, or why you might single out anything. So either it has to be something that is prepared for Bishul, something that is prepared for any future stage, probably Bishul, maybe other things. Maybe something davka that is not eaten raw, and not something that is eaten raw. So all three of those things draw on the Bishul connection, but don't apply it necessarily the exact same way. Or maybe davka vegetables that get sliced up as opposed to those that don't. Or maybe davka anything that's not in a straight eating usage. So how can we understand all those different views? So first of all, because Adam was worried about this point, so why should it be connected to Bishul at all? What's the connection to Bishul based on? So, Gil, you started to address this before.
Just when we were talking about kosher, you could be kosher for many different purposes. If it's for the purpose of achila, so it depends on why you're doing it. And the shear is based on that.
Okay, but why do we assume that Bishul is a necessary part of the melacha specifically? Sam, you want to address that? So maybe Sidur of the past, there is sometimes a certain hemshech there, that is a certain process where the malachos sometimes are defined by how they relate to what's before, what's after. So we don't always know when this is. We found this question that came up a couple times, that maybe Zarei and Choresh have a connection, maybe Dosh and Kotzer have a connection, maybe Dosh and Borer have a connection, but that maybe there is a process here where malacha sometimes is defined by its neighbors. So maybe here, maybe Tochein is defined by a relationship to Bishul, and therefore that's simply a Mishkan history issue. That in the Mishkan, that's what was happening, and therefore that's going to be relevant here as well.
If that was true, why do we skip Lush?
Oh, so why do we skip Lush? Because maybe Lush is still part of the process that's necessary for Bishul, and the fact that Lush has to come in between doesn't necessarily mean that this isn't Bishul focused. Right. That's also
don't
true.
Don't think you only apply to things that need lush.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Lush also, we'll see, we'll also get a little more complicated depending on which of our two theories in Rishonim as to what is involved here. Are we making bread or are we making dyes? But we could simply say that basically this is part of the Mishkanian process, and therefore following the Mishkanian model, so Bishul becomes a key aspect. What else could we say, Adam?
I'm just wondering on that point, you can essentially derive any object in the world. Is there any reason that we go straight to localizing the food?
So again, that may stem from the question as to what extent we're following the Mishkan. So, but if we're following the Mishkan, so is that food? So if it's lechem apanim, so then yes. So that's the Rav Haigel's view. If it's about the Samamanim, so then we saw it's not obviously food, maybe it involves food, but the dyes for the Mishkan might not specifically be food. So when we talk about Tochen, the truth is we see here that food has kind of a funny role, that some foods are involved, some foods are not, but it's not only food. So if we say that it's about pre-cooking, so cooking is not only for food, right? Cooking is also for the dyes are also cooked. So it could be that it's about pre-cooking, but not necessarily about food per se. And we'll see a little bit more in a minute about how food has a very funny relationship with tochen. As we mentioned in the past, you see sometimes an expression, ein tochen ba'ochlin, and clearly it does apply to some ochlin, but it seems to be there's some kind of limitation that tochen only applies to certain ochlin, doesn't apply automatically to ochlin. So it's got an awkward relationship to food to begin with. Hi.
So when the Rambam's talking about kosher who are grinding metal, it's chayav. How does that fit in? Is it because metal also comes from the ground, but it's not an oka and you don't cook it? Like, what's the...
The question, how is metal involved?
Yeah, it's not like there anything you grind necessarily can be chayav. There has to be some sort of thing in common between the metal and the vegetables, because they're both ground,
right. So what do you think it is? Right. So the metal clearly does have something in common and is not Oakland. That's also interesting, this whole Derech Achila thing. So you mentioned that Rav Yosef has some ambiguity as to what he means when he says, Ein zeh Derech Achilasan. So some suggest that he's saying the same thing as the Tosfos HaRash, that he just means that this is preparation for another stage. And there are some who suggest that he means to exclude anything which is eaten raw. That anything that is eaten raw is not subject to Tochein, and anything that needs to be cooked is. This suggestion, by the way, you could find in the Sefer Taurus Rafal. Are you familiar with the Sefer Taurus Rafal?
Yeah.
It's the Taurus Rafal is an addition to Don Chashivas, is a Chashiv Yichis, because he was the father-in-law of the Chaim Brisker, and the son-in-law of the Netziv. And it's Reb Chaim was married to the Netziv's granddaughter, so he was a Rashi Volozhin as well. So the Taurus Rafal suggests, he has an essay about this in a Sefer, in Chelik Beis. So he suggests that that's what Rav Yosef is saying, that anything that's Nechal Chai, you don't have Tochein for, and anything that is not Nechal Chai, correct, that's the idea you find in the Rishonim. So again, there are certain Svaras that are definitely out there, and the same point we're saying before, who says which Svaras is up for grabs a little bit, but the idea of Nechal Chai being a distinction, of being a preparation for Bishul being a distinction, Derech Achila being a distinction, these are definitely Svaras that are out there. It's just a question who says what, who's really getting at that, who's getting at something else, that's where you find some debate. Okay, so you could say the connection to Bishul is a connection simply to the Mishkan, that's what happened in the Mishkan, and therefore that's how this becomes the Malacha. What else could you say? What if you don't want to necessarily say it's just a historical reason, basically? What else could you say is relevant to making a Bishul part of the process? We could say that it's just not meaningful unless it's part of a bigger process. Or that maybe just breaking something up, taking food and breaking it into two pieces, is not a tikkun unless it makes a malacha possible. If there's a malacha that has to have that happen first, so then that is tochein. And if not, so then what should make tochein a malacha? The fact that you're going to now eat it like that, okay, you could have eaten it anyway. Now the fact that it's easier to eat, so why should easier to eat be more of a malacha? If anything, easier to eat makes it less of a malacha. Hi?
I'm saying breaking something up into smaller pieces definitely has some can definitely get to you. Like, I mean, for example, like eating a pomelo, mm-hmm. right? You have to take off the skin, and then even the outer skin,
but
I'm not saying specifically the mouth, that would probably be, you know, there would be fine, but I'm saying like it's definitely possible that things that are smaller are better to eat, better that.
Correct, but the question is eat. When does that become a malacha and when doesn't it? Because on the one hand, if that's a part of the process of eating, so derech achila is actually the definition of a non-malacha. So the fact that you made it easier to eat won't necessarily push it further on the malacha scale unless it's something where it's somewhere in between. So let's look back to Borer for a second. Right? So Borer, if we say that taking out the Tarubis, of taking out the Psolas from the Tarubis, is a tikkun. Right? You have now fixed the food. So we acknowledge that, at least in one version, that could be a tikkun. But if you put it immediately in your mouth, and you have the other conditions, right? So let's assume you have all the other conditions, just to satisfy everyone's view, so then it's Derech Achila. So, when it comes to making something edible, it seems like there's a nuance there, right? That if you make it immediately edible, so that you can now put it in your mouth right away, so then that seems to not be a malacha under most circumstances. If you make it edible to remain edible, but not necessarily for eating right now, maybe there's a case to be made that's a tikkun and that's not a derech achila. So maybe that's the case here. But we find many of the Rishonim explicitly not thinking that's the case, right? That if all you do is make it easier to eat, maybe that's not a malach. And that maybe it has to be only if you make it more susceptible to the next stage, most likely Bishul, maybe Davka Bishul, or maybe something like Bishul. So then that's a malach. You follow the difference? Does that make sense? is that basically we're trying to figure out what is the tikkun here of breaking this up into parts. So if you want to say that it makes it more edible, so that's difficult because edible is usually the definition of a non-malach. It's derech afilu. Maybe not always. Maybe only when you're actually going to eat it right away. Maybe we look at the Borer case where there is, Borer definitely gives us the concept of tikkun. Or let's say Bishul, right? Bishul certainly gives us the example of something where you are metaking an ochel to be ready to eat. So clearly readying something to eat sometimes is a malacha and sometimes it's dafkanat malacha. So there is room to say that maybe just readying it to eat could itself be a malacha if it's separated from the actual act of eating. But a lot of the Rishonim seem to be saying explicitly not that way. Right? They seem to be saying that only if you need it for Bishul, then it becomes a malach. So it could be just because that's a tikkun that's not connected to achila. Once you're going to do something else, once there's another process, a significant process in between, then that's the definition of not being derech achila. Maybe that's the issue. It's also interesting to note, I was discussing with somebody this morning, that it's when you cut it up to be cooked, it really needs to be in smaller pieces so that the fire can reach enough of the territory. When you cut it up to eat, it doesn't really need to be cut up for the most part, for most average usage. You really could eat it whole. It's just more derech eretz or simpler to cut it up first. So the need for the cutting is maybe more fundamental in the context of cooking than it is in the context of eating. I'm not sure how much of a difference that has to make, but that might also theoretically be relevant. Hi.
Just as a little support for the visual I wonder if we don't really know what kind of silk that is. I mean, there's good test beads. Can these beads probably work in metal? Could be a bead that is a very hard food vegetable that you have to maybe not necessarily cook, but like cut it and leave that for the coarse beverage?
Going back to your previous point, that maybe it's not necessarily visual per se. And it's a fair historical question, but in terms of the Rishonim, so the Rishonim do seem to be focusing specifically on the need for Bishul. You know, maybe the Tosfos Rashi is opening up a range of possibilities, but likely also focusing on Bishul. So the point is well taken that maybe there might also be another meaning to Silka. In terms of what we see, it does seem that Bishul.
It's a very specific example.
Correct. But maybe Bishul, also the fact that Bishul is its own malacha might be relevant. You know, that's a bit, I'm not sure how much we can afford to leave out of the equation. So all of that is potentially relevant. So you have this idea that many of the Rishonim maintain that if it's specifically for the purpose of Bishul, that's when it becomes a malacha. If not, not. How you doing? Again, it's not a tikkun if what?
We were suggesting, right, why should it not specifically be connected with Bishul? Okay, so one suggestion we had was for it's either nevas.
Right.
Another suggestion was in order to that there should actually be a tikkun, some cutting something up into small pieces is not necessarily a tikkun, or at least we don't see that, perceive that perception in the Rishon.
Right.
So but that would not necessarily directly connect to Bishul, rather any secondary preparation afterwards.
Could be, right. You're just clarifying that point.
Yeah, meaning I'm saying that we had a few suggestions about why you prevent something, or why would something be included in toping? So one, because it's only if it's a preparation for Bishul or any future preparation, they're two separate things. So seemingly the second star wouldn't necessarily be connected to Bishul, but rather to anything, including Bishul.
Right. So yeah, that's right, so that's correct. So there are many different versions of this, and as we see, it's a little bit tricky because some of them are counterintuitive. And sometimes you might say that if something is made ready finally by this process, if this is the last process, so maybe that should make it more of a malacha. If once I finish doing this, it's going to be edible. So we have conflicting intuitions here. So on the one hand, derech hafila is a heter. On the other hand, it seems to bring it to a perfect stage because the fact that it doesn't need any other malacha happening to it, one could argue that's more likely to make it a malacha. So it's part of what the difficulty is here, that you have a lot of competing svaras. There is a tshuva in the Minchas Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a tshuva on this topic, which I found exceedingly difficult. And you can tell me what you think. You can also look at it in your own. Simircha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Sadi Gimel.
Is that Hebrew
books? It might be. Yeah. He has a number of tshuvas about Shabbos, some of which we'll come back to. But there he has a language which is very, very difficult. I don't fully see how it fits with some ideas that we've seen so far. That there he suggests that, look, we find a lot of the Rishonim saying that it has to be a preparation for Bishul. And then we find by other examples, let's say the non-food examples, that clearly you don't have such a condition. So why is it that food has to be ready for Bishul specifically, and other foods, other substances rather, non-foods, don't have a requirement that parallels that? And to suggest, if I understand it correctly, maybe I don't, maybe take a look and tell me you see something else, is that when it comes to eating, if you're preparing it for eating, so then that's not, you're not going to cook it now, you're going to eat it now. So then the food isn't really ready. Why? Because it's still missing a stage. What's it missing? It's missing your teeth chopping it up. Yeah, it's really a fascinating point. So therefore it's not really ready. So the food is, if you're doing this for eating purposes, it's not really ready for eating. Your teeth still need to play a role. If you're doing it for cooking purposes, it's ready to be cooked. So other cases, outside of cooking, you could also bring toching to a point where it's ready for usage. So that's really fascinating, because to say that your teeth still have to play a role, you know, that is what eating is. That's derech achila. So to say that your teeth are doing a preparatory part that's coming in between the food and the eating, it's a very surprising svara.
He's saying that you would potter from toching because you have to use your teeth.
Yeah, it's not toching in that case because you haven't apparently totally perfected
yes,
yet.
That's
want to see if I can read you his exact language here. Right, so I think it's not, that's what derech achila means.
Yeah, meaning you say
right.
that the reason that potter is because you're putting it in your mouth. If your whole purpose that you're cutting up the food is in order to put it in your mouth. Therefore, the real action that you're enacting is you're putting it in your mouth. You haven't put it in your mouth yet. So you haven't really done what you're trying to do. So, but if you're trying to cook something, so then when you cut it up, now you're ready to cook for it.
You think in general that's the reason why derech achila is mutter, because there's a stage in between?
No, I think it's because you're eating it.
Right, but that should be the reason. That's not what he's saying.
Isn't it
major from Rambora
then?
Yeah, so it's a very new understanding, I think, of derech achila. And I'll read you his exact language. I have it here. He says, Tzarech lomar, the time of shemutter lachtoch b'shabes peiros v'yirachos gedolim lachatichos ketanos shiruyos miyad la'achila. Right, the reason why it's mutter to cut fruits and vegetables that are big into small pieces that are ready for immediate eating. Why is that? Who mipnei sha'adayin tzrichim l'shinayim hatochnos ozva. Right? Because we still need our teeth that are going to grind them down. V'shayni b'kua etzim sh'ruyim l'tafkida miyad b'liv shum klima. And cutting up wood is different because it's ready for its purpose immediately without any further grinding. So gam yishum kach mutter lachtoch dak dak mehav yishol tzina k'doma. That's really a fascinating idea. Now, you could just say derech achila is the heter, but he's saying something more than that. He's saying that the nature of derech achila is that your teeth finish the grinding, so that basically the grinding is not complete, it's not a full action. While in other contexts, it is a full action. I think that's really different from our standard understanding of derech achila, and it's a fascinating approach to take to this issue, to say that normally derech achila, I think, means the opposite, right? Derech achila means that the act of eating is not a melacha. Here he's saying really the opposite, that tochein for eating is not a melacha because the teeth have to do part of it. So you haven't finished it before you've done it, which is, I think, a very unusual perspective. But that's why he basically says, so therefore, in the context of wood and other things, so you're ready to use it. So what does tochen mean according to him? Tochen means that anything that you brought to a stage where it's ready to use is tochen. So if you're doing it to cook, so then once you've got it to a cookable stage, that's tochen. If you're using it for firewood, once you've got it to a firewoodable stage, it's tochen. Whatever you're using it for. So in that example, Lavashlo presumably is not specific. It doesn't mean just bishul because that was done in the Mishkan. But it means that tochen means making something usable. And eating edible doesn't count. Because you spoon into your teeth in order to make it edible. Which I think, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think that's an unusual perspective towards what Derech Achila means. How you doing?
Just two things. For that, I don't remember who said it, but I think it was Rishon when we talked about the metal, that like that it gets it into a powder, that the way that the metal workers use it.
Right.
So saying that they use it and they don't do any other thing to it.
Like, so it sounds like, yeah. The Rambam has that language, what you're talking about.
So, and when it comes to eating, so if someone completely mashes up, they don't need the teeth. And what about like the fiber? You still need to burn it.
So. So you don't need the teeth. So the truth is, there is a Tosefta, right? Which the Tosefta kind of sounds like that. The Tosefta says that if you mash up food, ad kedei kach, for the zakenim, right, which sounds like it means like that. Maybe that's what the Tosefta means, that people who can't use their teeth to eat, and you do the work of their teeth for them, so that is aser. And we saw before that it's hard to know how much that defines our iser, because maybe it's aser midrabanan, maybe there's different forms of tochen, right, that also gets invoked, that the Tosefta uses the language in Maraskin, maybe that's a more intense type of tochen than cutting something up. So it may indeed be the case. Maybe in Achanami that's true, that maybe if you prepare something for eating in a way that you bypass the teeth, maybe the fact is true.
It's not like Rabbeinu Chananel at all.
Maybe different from Rabbeinu Chananel. But again, I think that would be surprising, because I think you'd say that would be the role of teeth is not because it finishes tochen, it's because it's derech achila. So I think Rav Shlomo Zalman's position is definitely an unusual type of position. Sammy?
I think what he's saying is that if tochen is replacing teeth, so then the teeth is what you're really trying to do. Meaning you're really trying to eat it, and all the tochen is chewing. Mm-hmm. So now if you're going to chew more, so that you haven't finished what you're actually doing.
Yeah, now that is what he's saying, but it's still surprising because they have the role of teeth as part of the process.
No, he's just explaining what it means that he's eating, because that's the process that, meaning his tochen is just chewing.
Right, so I'm saying it's a new spin on Derech Achila. I think it's a new way of seeing how that works.
Why is it different than what we've seen before? That's what I'm not so clear.
Because I think Derech Achila until now, the way that we've shown him seems to express it, is that eating is not, so we talked about the Ramban by Borer, is that eating is not a malacha. The Ramban had the language of behetar tachina b'isolo tachina. So here he's not saying so much that eating is not a malacha, but that eating takes up half of your malacha space, so what you did until now is not a malacha because it wasn't finished. So that's really a whole different way of looking at it, and that's different than Borer, for example. So that's also going to be relevant, because then maybe if we say Derech Achila is a heter, it's not because we're carrying it over from Borer. It's a unique understanding. It's really only this malacha where your mouth is a partner in the malacha, and therefore makes the malacha until now incomplete. It's a very unusual model, I think. Maybe it's true, but it's definitely a very unusual model. Donnie, were you right?
Well, I don't know if he's definitely necessarily saying they're a kriya. You know, your teeth are just eating something that's raw, which makes it not they're a kriya. You're eating something that's
what makes it not
eaten this way.
What makes it not tochen until now?
Yeah, it's not tochen until you eat this raw thing, but when you cook it bishul, that's the final stage, making that your malacha.
Rabbi, you're adding in a different factor, which I don't think is really what he's addressing, saying that there are certain, those Rishonim who distinguish between Nechel Chai and Inu Nechel Chai. So that's also relevant to what you're saying. That's not necessarily what he's bringing in. He's bringing in just the fact that you plan on cooking it. Right? We mentioned before that we're not sure how Bishul should be interpreted in terms of playing a role. Is it that it has to be for the stage of Bishul? Is it a kind of food that needs Bishul? Or is it any type of preparation process? So here he's focusing on the fact that you plan on being Mavashua, so it's ready for Bishul. You're introducing another element that is the kind of food that needs Bishul. So if you were to eat that kind of food without cooking it, it wouldn't be tochen. But that's probably for other reasons. So think about it for a second. See that it's introducing some of the similar but different points. So one point I want to get into before, or at least want to open up before we run out of time, is, so how does Gedulei Karka fit into this whole discussion? All right, so does Tochen require Gedulei Karka? So this is probably my focus for Shonen, right, that Sefer Yerayim doesn't seem to require Gedulei Karka. Who apparently does? Trumas HaDeshen, right? Trumas HaDeshen notably brings up Gedulei Karka. And we've seen that Gedulei Karka, the past few malachas, has given us what to worry about. That the Gemara brings it up by Disha. Gemara brings it up also by Ma'amer. It's Machlokas in the Gemara by Ma'amer. It might be a Machlokas by Disha also. It's explicitly a Machlokas by Ma'amer. It might be a Machlokas by Disha. And by a few other malachas, we're not sure if it is or if it isn't. We saw Zore was a discussion. And other malachas is somewhat of a discussion to what extent it does or doesn't apply. So here, the Trumas HaDeshen seems to be bringing in Gedulei Karka as a requirement. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like that. Right? Because one example the Shulchan Aruch give, Shulchan Aruch says you can cut up meat. And that meat is not subject to tofen. So the Mishnah Berurah and others, and then first the Vilna, right? The Vilna Gaon notes that why is this? Because there's no tochein by non-gedulei karka. And the Mishnah Berurah has a little bit of a funny, a little bit of a difficult statement. Mishnah Berurah there comments, he says, yeah, you need to have gedulei karka, and especially it's mutter anyway, because even if you don't need to have gedulei karka, so then maybe it's mutter for other reasons. What other reasons does he invoke? Sorry? Right, so, well, draw might be an element. But also he says that maybe ain't china by ochlin, right? That difficult phrase we mentioned before, by which he really means, again, shar ochlin, you know, that it's limited to certain types of ochlin, but it's not automatic by ochlin. So therefore, two reasons why maybe it doesn't apply to meat. Problem is, those aren't two conflicting reasons. They're both in the Trumas HaDeshen. But he says, yeah, there's no tochen by non-gedulei karka like the Trumas HaDeshen. And even if you don't agree with the Trumas HaDeshen, so it doesn't apply to Ochlin in general, like the Trumas HaDeshen. So it's hard to call that two reasons for the Shulchan Aruch to rely on. It seems the Shulchan Aruch is basically following the Trumas HaDeshen. But what about saying that? So you say that it doesn't apply to Gedulei Karka, to non-Gedulei Karka. So that's very difficult according to, at least let's say, Rambam. Right? The Rambam certainly applies it to metal. Because metal doesn't grow from the ground. And that's, there's a whole discussion, if you want, I can show you, we're almost out of time here, there's a whole discussion that documents exactly what's Gedulei Karka and not, and metal, even though it's developed essentially from the ground, essentially not called Gedulei Karka. We discussed in the context of Ma'amer, that there are sometimes some different definitions, but let's assume for now that it's not considered Gedulei Karka. So, is this a contradiction to the Trumas HaDeshen? Hi.
Doesn't the Rambam say that?
So he's saying that maybe the av only applies to
but also
that's possible.
Also, didn't we say that melach that comes from the ground would be gedulei karka?
So there's different kinds of melach, right?
So right, the ones that come from the ground, not from the seed.
But it depends how it comes from the ground. Right. So I think you're actually a question I haven't mentioned yet. The Tosefta, the Yerushalmi talks about it by melach, and some bring that as a question also against the Trumas HaDeshen. So maybe next time we'll get into that a little bit more. I just want to bring this point out. So as Rav Nachman Gestetner points out in one of his tshuvas, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look at the Trumas HaDeshen, so really what he's saying is it's all one big process. He's saying that maybe it doesn't apply to non-Ochlin in general, maybe it doesn't apply to non-Gedulei Karka when it is Ochlin. That maybe it doesn't apply to Ochlin in general, and if it applies to Oakland, maybe only Oakland that are Gedulei Karka. So that maybe Gedulei Karka is only a clause within Oakland, but not necessarily by everything that is Tochen related. So other things, such as metal, wouldn't necessarily be subject to this rule, but if it's food, it has to be Gedulei Karka. So why should that be? And if we're going to say it has to be Gedulei Karka, why should we care whether it's food or not? So it seems to be, this ties into the Tzura Samalachim question, that you are grinding food in a certain context, and other substances are ground in a different context. So when it comes to food, it has to be comparable to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, it was basically ground for the first time. Maybe this is essentially a Ein Tochen Acher Tochen issue. And that's something we're going to have to expand upon a little bit next week. There is at least one other major element I want to introduce here before we run out of time, and we'll have to finish this up next week. There is an important piece in the Safnas Paneah, and it could be very relevant, and there are hints of this in the earlier Svarim as well. That is the Ragachavar, and I recently came into possession of one because they are selling it at the Svarim sale. So, you can obtain the Safnas Paneah and Hilchos Shabbos. I only just got this last week, but it's something that's quoted a lot in the Svarim. It's not something that I just discovered. But many of the Svarim refer to this statement of the Ragachavar, that the Ragachavar basically assumes that what is the definition of Tochen? This is a big Chiddush. I'll read to you his language. The language of the Ragachavar in general is almost impossible. His name means revealer of secrets, and he kind of tends to go in the opposite direction. So, in general, his language is very, very minimalist. And here at Yeshiva University, we can take great pride in making the language a little more understandable, because the Tzafos Penech on Chumash, which if you have a few hours to read a sentence, you should take them. Sorry? So Rav Kasher is the one who prepared, but he prepared it together with Yeshiva University. So that was published by Yeshiva University a few decades ago. Sorry?
Wasn't the office a couple
floors
up?
Wasn't what? I'm sorry?
The office a couple
floors up? It could be. I'm saying it was published. I don't know all the details. It was published together with Yeshiva University. So Rav Kasher was the one who edited it. So thanks to Rav Kasher's footnotes, if you spend a couple hours on each one, you can maybe read what the Tzafnas Paneach on Chumash is saying. So this edition of the Tzafnas Paneach on the Rambam, so he fills in a lot of the lines in the between, what he's talking about, what the Gemara is referring to. Otherwise, it's very difficult to read. But here, this line is from the original. This line says the Ragachavar, commenting on the Rambam in Chaf Aleph Yutes, that it says as follows: "Lefi hanira midivra Rabbeinu kan," and he's talking about the part where the Rambam, according to one Girsa, says there's no tchina by peros. Another very significant distinction. Says the Ragachavar, "Svirule," the Rambam, "the tchina lo hava rak imolid davar chadash al yidei hatchina, kemo kemach nichitim ukedoma." So what's he saying? What's the definition of tochen? It's that the grinding creates a new substance. And there are hints of this in some of the notes of Kalim on the Rambam as well. But that here we're really getting a whole new sense of what tochen could possibly mean. That it doesn't necessarily mean simply that you are making something smaller and more accessible, but that you are changing it so radically that it's now something with a new name, possibly a new bracha. You saw some of the Gemaras that talk about this. A new identity for purposes of, let's say, Shinui by Gizela and the like. That if you make such a profound change to something by grinding it up, that's tochen. So that really gives us a whole different possible conceptual understanding of what tochen is. And maybe that's also why our Gemara is not really tochen. Maybe that's why it's a tolda of tochen. Because if you cut up a beet, are you changing it into something else? Not really. If you change wheat into flour, that's a radical change. Now, of course, to focus on wheat and flour, you have to focus more on Rav Haigon Sidura de Pas. If you're talking about the Samamonim, it's not clear how radical change they underwent. we use a bread example, so kamach and chitin is a useful example. Otherwise, it's not 100% clear. But this is a completely different understanding in what tochen is about. It's not that you're metaking it and that you make it more accessible for something else. It's that you cut it in such a way that you grant it a completely different identity. Yo?
The feeling that would be between open and char things, does that mean that there would be token after token with other things?
Not necessarily. I mean, it could be that that's part of it, that Oakland, when they're not Kidule Karka, so then that might mean that they're not subject to that first level of token that makes a second token not countable. So only certain, what I'm trying to say in a backwards way, is that maybe ain token after token means that the only token that's relevant is that initial stage of part of its Karka process. So maybe something that never had Karka to begin with just simply is not subject to token. So in other words, it's not an example of ein tochen acher tochen, but it's the same svara of ein tochen acher tochen. That just like a second tochen is a post-karka tochen, so non-gidule karka never have a karka tochen. And that's fundamentally different. So they're both ways of saying that tochen, when it comes to food, tochen is connected to its karka stage. And we'll come at ein tochen acher tochen a little bit more in more detail. So those are some of the major points in terms of just what is the malacha and what does it apply to. And it opens up those different possibilities of what is the nature of the tikkun here. Is the tikkun here that you are making it usable, that you're making it usable specifically for bishul, that you are making it into something new? All of those have particular possibilities in terms of what the malacha means. What I want to do after this is, so on Sunday we'll do some of the halacha l'maisa, especially that comes out of this. What we still need to figure out is understanding tochen achar tochen a little bit better, spend a little bit more time on that, and talk about the gemara that talk about the issue that the post can have in terms of if you're using a wind or water mill in order to create the tchina process, to what extent does that make a difference? Very relevant for malachas in general through electricity and the like. And also we'll have to get a little bit into refuah in terms of how that also emerges from the malacha of tochen. Tomorrow is a chumash day, parashas mishpatim, and even in Rishon is a very packed aliyah, so hopefully we'll have the opportunity to really get a lot out of the Rishon of parashas mishpatim tomorrow. Sunday halacha maisa, Monday we'll continue.